Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. With a Senate vote last weekend, the talk of gridlock in Washington came to at least a temporary end. The Senate gave thumbs up to the omnibus spending bill that the U.S. House of Representatives approved earlier in the week and which funds the federal government through the end of the fiscal year. But there are still major areas of concern for some Wisconsinites. Congress has not passed an extension of federal unemployment benefits. Passage of a farm bill has not materialized. And privacy concerns still exist, even after President Obama announced his initiative for major changes to the NSA's data collection policies. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee is back in her district this week, and she's with us in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Mitch, it's great being here with you today. It's a little nippy. But this is Wisconsin.
We'll warm things up on the radio. Let me start with the omnibus budget bill that passed last week. And let me start by asking you where you think it might have fallen short.
Well, you know, obviously, it's a good news, bad news story here. I mean, the good news is that we moved the ball forward on finishing all 12 appropriations bills. We've been stuck. So that's I guess I want to say something good about it. It fell short in a really obvious way when we didn't extend unemployment benefits for the long term unemployed. I think that that hurts our economy nationwide. Here in Wisconsin, we started out with 1.3 million people who didn't get those checks the first week of December 28th. And of course, we add 72,000 people every week and a couple million children. All told, if this goes on for a year, that'll be 200,000 jobs that we'll lose. And it not only has an impact on those people who are unemployed, obviously, but it has an impact on those merchants and vendors out there who aren't getting those receipts for food and clothing. Landlords may be missing out on getting their monies. And so there's a ripple effect to it.
You were, though, willing to vote for this package, even though it fell short in that key area for you. How do you make the call that what becomes important or more important is passing something rather than prolonging the debates?
Well, you know, and that's just it. I guess the older I get, the more conservative I get, and the more I understand really what the word compromise means. The sequester really held a lot of people hostage, individuals and business. And I guess to borrow some lexicon from Maria Shriver. When we think about the numbers of people who are just, and especially women, who are literally living just on the edge of existence, living on the fringes, we really ended, curtailed a lot of misery for a lot of people by passing some sort of budget. I mean, we provided school lunches for about 32 a million eligible school children, which is significant. Senior meals, the Head Start program. Brought back, some funding, $1 billion increase for that program, which many low income parents rely on. Certainly, disaster funding, community prevention grants. We restored some money to the National Institutes of Health, and I could go on and on and on. Pell grants protected that investment. So there were things that I thought were worthwhile supporting. And so I'm not dancing in the street about it, but there was $1 trillion worth of spending that was desperately needed. And at least for 2014, it gets us through 2014. And we'll be sort of back in the same boat 2015 and beyond, but it moves the ball forward.
Well, and as you say, you'll be in the same boat as 2015 comes along. What is your current sense for the climate in Washington? Does the passage of these appropriations bills, along with, say, the work of Congressman Ryan and Senator Murray, does it indicate a shift in the climate for compromise in Washington?
Well, just let me say, I want to give due compliments to Representative Ryan, whose constituents are within your listening area. And I do think that I agree with him. You know, if you're in the majority, Republicans are in the majority, you have the responsibility to govern. And so he's taken a lot of hits and criticisms for doing anything because the Republicans, in my experience, they don't like this budget initiative. They don't like the $1 trillion in spending, which is far below where we have been. And they would like to carry us back to a point in time when government does practically nothing. And so I do think that while I'm complimenting Representative Ryan and Senator Murray, I'm also raising a real precautionary note that this isn't some sort of big magnanimous bill to help a lot of people. There's still a lot of pain and suffering, not only to individuals, but to our larger economy that will sustain if we don't get beyond these sequester levels.
So even with the passage of the omnibus bill, as you mentioned, unemployment benefits were not included in that, an extension of unemployment benefits. Analysts say the coming days might represent really the last time that an extension of benefits might be a feasible vote. How do you view where that issue is today?
Well, I can tell you, you have members of Congress and, of course, the United States Senate, who literally have the philosophical view that by extending these unemployment benefits, even in an environment where economists have measured and said that we are 7% and above, we are at sort of a critical threshold, that it discourages people from working. And so they can come up with an example of someone who wouldn't take a job because, hey, I'm getting my unemployment benefits. The reality is that our economy is still recovering. It's still very, very soft. And there are plenty of people who have advanced degrees, a lot of experience, and they are actually not finding any jobs. The $7 an hour job, $7.50 an hour job that they might try to find, other people are scurrying to take those benefits. I think someone has a master's degree, someone offering a $7.50, $8 an hour job is not in a hurry to provide them with that job, knowing that they won't stay there if they get a job in their of their choice. In the meantime, while this debate is raging, we're cutting food stamps. We're cutting unemployment benefits. We're vilifying anybody who gets any sort of government assistance, Pell Grants, and people who were middle class are now finding themselves right on the edge.
There are some Republicans who say they'd be more willing to support an extension of unemployment benefits if they were offset by spending cuts elsewhere. What's your take on whether the extension of benefits ought to be contingent on finding money from someplace else to put into these benefits?
Well, I can tell you that while there have been pay-fors, it's rare. Ever since we have had any kind of employment, unemployment level at 7% or above, Democrats, Republicans, you know, whether the president has been Republican, the House or Senate has been occupied by Republicans or Democrats, we have extended these unemployment benefits. We get how our capitalist economy works, that you need unemployment and offsetting it with what? With programs and other spending that helps people. It's rare that we have required an offset.
Do you think it's a debate that will be driven now by constituents as you and your colleagues are home and in your districts, or would you expect or want the White House to play a more visible role?
Well, I can tell you that we have such gerrymandered district that those debates, you know, are not occurring in ordinary districts. You know, those members of Congress who may come from very wealthy enclaves and they don't really care about the unemployed. And I do hope that the president will use his executive authority I don't know that he can raise unemployment benefits, but he can do stuff like raise the minimum wage, perhaps. This will take a legislative fix. And I do think that we need to try to rally the people out there. And let me just say this, Mitch, while we still have time. This is not just a problem of those who are unemployed. You know, when we think about Penny's, JCPenney's being in trouble, think about Best Buy not making their bottom line during the holiday. Think about all those checks starting December 28th that didn't go out and beyond. There is a $1.50 economic benefit for every unemployment check that's sent out. And those folks spend every single dime of it. I mean, that very first week of December 28th, 23,700 people in Wisconsin lost their benefits, an average benefit of about $266. But that was $6.3 million statewide. I mean, that's Piggly Wiggly and Roundies that lost money, Pick and Save, Payless Shoes, Best Buy. Those small businesses in our community that lost $6.3 million that one week. And every week we add 72,000 people nationwide. And so it's not just those persons and their families that lose that economic benefit. It harms our economy.
Let's move on to one other area that the president did use his executive authority for. He, in the past week, announced his plans to pare back large-scale surveillance programs, most significantly that the government would no longer be the keeper of all the records gathered in these massive sweeps. What's your take on the direction the president is suggesting that things move?
Well, Mitch, let me just say, we'll have to wait and see. I think the biggest takeaway from his announcement was that he was going to have some sort of public agency involved in these surveillance decisions, these FISA court decisions. I mean, previously, and I remember being strenuously objecting to this while we were considering the legislation, that nobody like a public advocate was there to question whether or not we should gather these kind of data. And so when they talk about, so that I think is very significant. The other thing I think is very significant is his saying that we won't keep these records permanently. But then where will they go? How will they be disposed of? If the public doesn't store them, can we trust some private agency to store them? I don't know that I think that's a good idea. So I think that I think the president is making some effort to respond to the criticism, and we'll just see if it's enough.
You sound like you might be still a little skeptical at this point.
Well, I was not supportive of this wide reach. I do respect the fact that we've got to I don't want to second guess our intelligence services. I do realize realistically that these kinds of covert activities must take place. But I'm relying on some very studied, balanced approach.
Well, I hope we can talk to you again about it as these plans might move forward. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
And thank you, too.
Democrat Gwen Moore represents Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District, which includes Milwaukee and parts of the North and South Shore suburbs. An organization works to revitalize inner-city Milwaukee. We'll learn about its distinctive approach when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.